Blog Talk Radio.
UGS Radio is not intended for anyone under the age of 18 years old. We reserve the right to say whatever the fuck we want to say because we believe in free speech. And if you do not believe in free speech...
Get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker!
We kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the babies, we kill the blind, we kill the crippled, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggots, we kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all!
And one night, a drawing set me on fire. That wicked fantasy was to see a child burned to death. And after that, I was just left in a garbage can to die.
Try taking some of these dangerous chemicals out of the food and environment and see if there's a turnaround. At least do something instead of ignoring it and increasing the danger to us.
I was a school teacher in my parish school, and I caught a priest molesting a child. They were going to allow this man to remain near the children, and sadly, he's still in a parish today.
There is absolutely no sexual overtone within this procedure, according to the traditional rabbis that perform it. Absolutely.
Sexual or not, you still had a baby's penis in your mouth. That's just...
Okay, have a pleasant day.
Welcome to the Church of Reality. Bitch.
Sexual or not, he still had a baby's penis in his mouth, and he's a nasty, nasty motherfucker. Hey, welcome to Church Reality, everybody. Church Reality 157. Got my co-host Elaine on the line. How you doing, Elaine?
Hey, fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just, that part always gets to me about that rabbi, because that ritual they do, it's just purely disgusting, and it's barbaric on all levels. What they do, for those of you who don't know, is they circumcise the baby. Then the rabbi, and you could look this up, because they actually been killing babies with herpes. It's been on the news, New York Times, all over the place. But what they do is they circumcise the baby, and the rabbi puts his mouth on the baby's penis, sucks the blood from the tip of it, and swishes it around in his mouth like he's tasting wine and spits it into some weird gold cup, some pimp cup looking thing. And meanwhile, the parents are over there just smiling, happy for their son, while he's screaming in pain because skin from his dick was violently ripped off. It's horrible. It's just disgusting on all levels. Anybody that does anything like that or supports anything like that, you're just a sick, nasty motherfucker. Sorry, anytime I get a chance to go in on these pedophiles and these creeps that go after kids, I gotta speak my mind on that. But we got a good show tonight. I'm gonna bring on the homie Brandon here in a second. He spent his entire 20s in prison. Did 2 years in the feds, 8 years in the penitentiary. He just got out recently. And, you know, he's a huge, huge supporter of what we're doing. The guy's, you know, he's been through a lot. We're going to find out what happened because, you know, he got locked up. He was real young. And, you know, he paid dearly for what he did. We're going to find out exactly what he did and why he got locked up. Welcome to the show, Brandon. How you doing?
Yo, I'm all right, Brad. Thanks for having me on. What's up, Elaine?
Hey, great, nothing, fine.
Yeah, I'm glad, first of all, I want to say I'm glad you introduced me to Elaine, man. Ever since I've been following you on Facebook, man, like, I've learned a lot, man. You've been posting a lot of stuff I didn't know about, so I learned a lot from you. I looked up your story a little bit, and, like, you really are an inspiration. And I appreciate getting a chance to talk to you and everything. So
thank you. Same here.
First, you know, thanks for having me on all weekend, man. Like, I was an honor to be a part of Friday's show, and last night I had a blast with you, Mac J, and Velvet. But,
I did, you know,
a total of 10 years. When I was 18, I'll just get into the story now, man. When I was 18, I don't hide from my past, man. Like, I made a lot of stupid mistakes, hung out with the wrong people, been in a lot of bad situations. I was involved with drugs. You know, at first I was just, you know, having fun. Before I knew it, I had a problem and shit. And I started hanging out with these dudes in the city, Pittsburgh. And, you know, we were selling stuff, you know, whatever we could get. We were going to New Jersey a lot. We'd go to, like, Columbus, Ohio, Clark, go to New Jersey to get drugs. Well, the guy I was going with, he was being watched. And I just happened to be with him when the feds caught him. And I didn't have that much, you know, like, I wasn't, like, selling, you know, like, I wasn't, like, a big-time drug dealer or nothing. Like, I was pretty much just selling a little bit to keep my habit, you know what I mean? And I had to talk with a little bit, but, I mean, I was tied to him. And I had got 2 years in the feds. Personally, though, like, I was only 18 when that happened. That happened in, like, October, like, you know, 4 months after my birthday. So, like, 4 months after I turned 18 is when this happened. And I lucked out. And that's the thing. Like, when you get locked up in the feds, like, you don't go to, like, a jail in your state or anything. Like, you can be from Pittsburgh and go to a fed joint in Alabama or something. Like, you know what I mean? But I lucked out, and I was just right in West Virginia. And being that it was, like, my first offense, like, they gave me 2 years, sent me to, like, a minimum security, well, a medium security. And, you know, I already had some time in by the time I got up there. So I was actually in the Fed joint for, I think, 13 months. But majority of that, like, was doing, like, drug programs and all that. But I lucked out. It wasn't, like, an awful, you know, like, it wasn't, like, an awful Fed joint. I mean, of course, there was, you know, every prison, no prison is safe, you know what I mean? But, yeah, so, I mean, I definitely should have learned my lesson with that. There, the Fed joint is ran a little more, like, professionally. Like, my first day there, like, you got to wake up every morning at, I think, 5:45 in the morning. You got to stand up, put your light on. And they do count. They count everybody. And, like, my first day there, the guy doing the count, the officer, was like, "Good morning, Mr. Clausen." And there is a higher level of respect in a federal jail from the guards and the inmates. But it's more of a, like, you can't just go there and, like, sit on your ass. Like, you know what I mean? You're not just sitting there and, you know, I mean, they have plenty of recreational activities and, you know, work programs and stuff. But that's kind of the point of it, like, that they put you to labor, you know what I mean? Like, they, like, a lot of stuff that we use out here right now is made in prison, and that's, I mean, it's cheap labor for them.
It's slave, but, yeah, slave labor, 15, 20 cents. I mean, how much were you making an hour?
The best paying job was, well, actually, I can't say the best paying job, because I really don't know that. Because there was a such thing as, like, you would get some kind of, like, outside clearance, and you would actually pull in, like, a couple hundred a month. But the average person working in those jails, I think the best paying job was, like, 60 cents an hour. But any job you start out at is, like, 21 cents an hour. Like, if you're just working in the kitchen, which is the easiest job to get, and usually that's, like, the most common job, because, I mean, they put anybody in there, you get 21 cents an hour.
Now, here's my question. Okay, you guys are making 21 cents an hour. Okay, who's getting the money, the rest of the money that you should be getting? You know, is it going to the warden, to the state, to the crooked politician? I mean, it's a slave camp. It's a slave ship.
Sure, without a doubt. The warden of the jail I was in, his wife was, like, the mayor, or, like, worked in the mayor's office or something like that. And, right in our prison, like, the, like, you know, like, the campaign sign, like, "Vote for Williams" or whatever, like, was right in the prison. Like, you see that shit everywhere. So there's definitely, like, a tie, you know, between politics and the prison system. I mean, it's, I can't even imagine that somebody would deny that. I mean, that's just blatant. I mean, what they do.
Yeah. I imagine things got a lot worse though when you had to go to a state prison. After you got out of the feds, how long was it before you got locked up and did the 8-year bid?
Well, I got out shortly after I turned 20 years old, and like in the federal penitentiary, like if you're cool, you don't get write-ups and all that shit. Like they just count 10 months as a year, so I really technically only did 22 months. But I wasn't home that long. It was like under like a year and a half, I think. And I was partying. I got a little too messed up, called somebody for a ride. They gave me a ride home. I mean, I was a little, you know, like a half hour away from my house. And I had passed out, drunk, in the back seat. The next thing I know, I'm getting woke up in my driveway. I go in my house, go to sleep. Next day, I find out that the people I was with robbed the store while I was in the car, like while I was passed out. And I mean, I was mad as hell. I mean, yeah, like, how are you going to do something like that while I'm passed out? You know what I mean? But
So they went and robbed the store while you were passed out? Were you high or intoxicated?
Yeah, I was drunk, sleeping. Like, I had no, like, I didn't even know what store they got until, like, a month or two afterwards. Like, I thought it was a different store the whole time. But, yeah, I had no clue. I had no clue.
And how did you end up getting 8 years for this? Did somebody try pinning it on you, or?
Yeah, well, what happened is, like, the girl that was driving, like, the guy that went in and robbed it, his girlfriend was driving the car. And, like, five, six months down the road, they had broken up. Shit got ugly, I guess. And she went right to the police station and told them everything. And she implicated me and said that I was in the car. When I got questioned about it, I told them, like, you know, I don't recall anything. And, like, I was hoping there was videotape of it so they could see that I was in the car sleeping. Like, I didn't know nothing, you know what I mean? And they believed me. Like, they, you know, the cops said, like, we believe you. The other guys even said that you were sleeping. You didn't know what was happening. And but they looked at it as I knew what happened, and I didn't call the police on them. You know, I didn't turn them in. So technically I was just as guilty as them. But the girl that told on us, I mean, she was the getaway driver. It was her car. She drove away and everything. She was never even listed as a co-defendant. She was just a witness. Like, she didn't get in any trouble. And they got, like, my co-defendant, I mean, they did some other stuff, too, and got some more time. But for that crime, they got 5 to 10 years, and I got 4 to 8. You know, just for being in the car.
Just for being passed out in the car. This is a prime example. Because, you know, I've been in many situations where I could have been locked up, too. And I hung out with the wrong people. Here you are, you get drunk, you pass out, you wake up to find out that a store got robbed. And this girl gets disgruntled with the her boyfriend, decides to go in and turn you guys into the cops, and she is a defendant. You guys see what's wrong with the system here? You know, somebody will sell, you know, a little bag of weed or something, or, you know, maybe a dime rock of coke or whatever the fuck, and they'll get slapped with 5 years automatically. Or a situation like this where a man was passed out drunk, he gets 4 to 8 years in the prison system, but a pedophile, 9 times out of 10, they get a slap on the wrist. There was one over here they gave probation to. They even put the motherfucker in jail. That's crazy.
We've
got a caller, Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to cut you off. What were you going to say?
I said, when I was in the county jail waiting to go up, there was somebody who was in there. It was their third time with, like, a child molestation case, and they got 11 months. And that was their third time doing it. They
third
got a county sentence. Yeah, they got a county sentence, did less than a year. You know what I mean? Like, it's just insane to me, man.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we're seeing people getting murdered
I'm getting a slap on the wrist. I just saw, did you see the video the other day, Elaine? There was a little boy, autistic child. He was shot, I think we talked about last week a little bit. But he was alive for apparently 7 minutes. And on the video, you can hear the cops saying, I think he's alive. And one of the other cops says, oh, I don't even want to pull him out of there. Just let him be. And they had the opportunity to try to save this kid's lives, these motherfuckers. Let's see who we got on the line here from Canada. I think this is Canada. Is this from Canada? This from out of the country? Is this from in the country? Am I wrong? Maybe I'm bad on my my area codes. I ain't ludicrous. Who is this?
Hello?
Hey, welcome to the show. Who is this?
This is Jerry from Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. See, I told you I'm off with my area codes. How you doing, Jared from Virginia? I thought you were I thought you was Leroy from Canada. Sorry about that.
Not far away from Canada.
oh, really? Okay, there we go. We got a connection. See, I pick up on that telepathic shit, man.
Jerry's
up,
a friend of mine.
Oh, he's a friend of yours? Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Did you call this show before?
Yes.
Yes.
Michael Jackson cover.
No, that's another guy.
That's okay, I got you mixed up. I got you. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We have a gentleman, Brandon, you know, he was young. He hung out with the wrong people. He made a mistake by being in the wrong place at the wrong time, so to speak, but he paid greatly for it. Did 4 to 8 years. How many years did you end up doing, Brandon?
I did all eight. Yeah.
All 8 years.
Yeah, I can get into a little bit of that. If you get in trouble when you're in the county jail, I mean, I'm speaking for Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, the caller is from Virginia. I believe Virginia is a Commonwealth state, too. Pennsylvania is a Commonwealth state, so sometimes our rules are a little different. The way we do things are a little different. If you're in the county jail and they give you a sentence like 11 and a half to 23, the day you get sentenced, you know what day you're going home. But when you're in state prison, if you get 2 to 4 years, if you get out 4 months after your minimum, after that 2 years, that's considered getting out on your minimum. Like, there's no guarantees of when you go home or anything like that. So, when I got 4 to 8, they gave me a 1 year hit, which means I had to do an extra year until I saw the parole board again. And their best excuse to why they're not letting you out is they call it lack of remorse, and they say, like, you don't show remorse towards your crime or whatever. And that's the easiest one that they can use because they don't have to prove that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how they don't have to show anything to why they didn't let you out. But, so they had gave me a year, and they didn't really tell me what to do to make it look good for the following year. They just said lack of remorse, and I thought I was very remorseful. I didn't make any excuses. I didn't even say I was just with the wrong people. I didn't say I took 100% accountability, but they gave me that year. And then when I went up a year later, they wanted me to do this program. It's called Therapeutic Community, and it had like a 10% success rate or something like that. It's a crazy program. They said it was a drug program, but I didn't have a drug case. So, like, that's what I thought was insane about it. But it's like 6 to 9 months long, and, like, say me and you were brothers, Press, and you're in that jail with me, and I'm in the program. If I see you down at, like, the chow hall where we're eating, and you say hi to me, and I say hi back, I'm going to get in trouble for that. And, like, part of the program is every single week you have to, they call them push-ups and pull-ups. A push-up is like you're complimenting somebody. Like if they say, you know, they need to stop fighting with their wife when they call her at home, like on the phone, and you notice that they're not doing that anymore, so you compliment them, like, hey, you're really doing good, living up to your work. But a pull-up is just jive snitching on somebody, just straight-up snitching on them, you know what I mean? Like, you're not allowed to smoke in your cell. So if, you know, me and someone are walking and we see you smoking in your cell, and I don't tell on you, the guy I'm walking with is telling on you, and he's telling on me. And, I mean, it's just insane because they put that danger in you. They put that danger, you know, like they sprinkle danger into your bed, and it's, you know, people aren't down with that. And say I tell on you, you're not even allowed to swear. So, like, say I tell on you for swearing, and you end up getting kicked out of the program, and now you're not going home. Some of them dudes up there are doing 10 to 20 years. They've been down for 10 years. And this is how they're getting home, by doing this program. And I just told on you for something stupid like swearing, and all of a sudden you're not going home. You know what I mean? That creates a dangerous situation. You know, so I didn't last in the program at all. It wasn't even like
that's
the whole
crazy.
You know, it wasn't even the whole telling on people stuff that got me kicked out. It was just like stupid stuff, like my bed wasn't made right, you know, my shirt wasn't tucked in the right way. Like, just little stuff, man. They just pick on you. They backstab you a lot. Like, you have to go through, like, a chain of command to do something. Like, if you want to go outside and smoke a cigarette, you have to ask the guard on the floor.
So they're trying to get you guys to fight each other by making you guys pick faults in each other. I mean, did this ever result in fights?
Oh, more than I can even express. I mean, you when I wasn't even in the program, you would see all the guards running to that block because there'd be a fight. I mean, what that program is all about pretty much is they just take your morals and want you to go against your morals. That's like the whole point of it, actually. It's like to break who you are. And it's just insane. I mean, it's insane what they do to you. And, I mean, most people don't make it through it. And, like, I just ran into somebody that was actually at that jail. They just came and they said they shut that program down. And I talked to other people that said the program is a little better in other prisons. I can only speak on the one that I went through. So, I mean, if there's somebody listening that went through that program at another jail, they're probably saying, like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I can only speak on the one that I was at. And like I'm saying, that is no lie at all. That's exactly how it was there. I'm sure you could probably even look that program up. I mean, it's pretty bad, man.
Wow. That's
You just got out this year, didn't you?
Yeah. I just came home and I maxed out in February, but I had an old case, just like a probation case. I got caught with some weed while I was out on bail for the robbery case, and they gave me probation for that. Well, they messed up and never, like, gave me my violation. You know, like, they never sent me for my violation. So when I maxed out, they let me out the doors. I'm in the parking lot. I'm with my family and everything, and, like, I'm walking through the parking lot, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. The late show cops are here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, that's weird. And I'm like, oh, wait, why do they have a Westmoreland County Sheriff with them? And then I'm like, oh, man, it's for me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they let me out the door. I'm walking with my family to the car, and all of a sudden here they come walking up to me like, no, we got to take you to Westmoreland County Jail. And I had to go there, and I sat for, I think, like 3.5 weeks before I got a hearing. And when I went to the hearing, they let me right out. Like, they just wasted a month. Another month of my life for nothing. You know, like something that could have been handled through the mail. But, yeah, so I got
like
out of
hand in for you. What's the process like when you're getting back? I mean, how was it easy to get used to the free world again?
Not at all, man. And, like, people think I'm crazy for saying this, but, like, where I was at, man, like, when you're about to get out, they call it the honor block, it's like low security, like you live in a dorm pretty much. Like there's nicer bathrooms and shit. You can walk out of your room and shit all the time. But I stayed up the whole night before. I was just like listening, like they sell Walkmans up there with cassettes, man. I was like up all night. I only had one fucking tape. I listened to it like 6 times. It was a UGK tape. And in the morning, I knew that my family would be there to pick me up at 8:30 or whatever. That's the earliest they can get you. And there's a phone on the block, and it would then. But around that time, it rings anyway to release workers and stuff. And every time that phone would ring, it was like I didn't want it to be me. Like I didn't want them to call me and tell me to leave. Like because, I mean, 8 years is a long time, and it's just like you finally get to that, you know, point where it's like, what do I do out there? Like, I don't know life out there. Like, the last time I was out there, I was, you know, 21 years old or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was odd. Like, how do I, like, I grew up there, and it's like, how do I adjust to everything? And it was like I kind of didn't want to go. Like, of course I didn't want to stay in jail, but it was like you're like afraid of it because you don't know what to expect. And I mean, your prison life is different than your freedom life, you know. And then when I finally came out from the county jail, like I had went to the mall and I had to leave, man, because it was like very stressful, man, like seeing all those people, and people were dressed different. I mean, you know, like I'm used to seeing people all dressed the same, and just people all around you, and I mean, it was hard, man. Like, you get creeped out, like when I hear like a little kid running on the sidewalk, and just hearing them feet hit the concrete so quick like that reminded me of, you know, like a fight out in the yard or something, which I've seen 1,000 times, and it's just, you're on guard, like, you have a hard time comprehending things. I mean, I would wake up at 6 in the morning, turn my light on, thinking that I was still in jail, getting up for count time. I would leave water running, because then there, you just hit a button, and it turns off by itself. You know, it was hard, man. It was hard to, like, accept the fact. And one thing that I tell people that's, like, it's really, like, really trips you out is up there, they drive it in your head that you're, like, your first name, you know, my first name wasn't Brandon anymore. It was Inmate. Like, that's what your name is. You know, like, you would be Inmate Beta. You know what I mean? Like, they you don't have a first name. Like, they call you Inmate in your last name. And just to
part of the
remove that
project.
Oh, without a doubt. And, I mean, just to remove that tag off of me was just, I mean, that was, like, one of the things that meant the most to me. Like, you know, if somebody asked me my name, I didn't have to say it, and maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to say that anymore. And, I mean, like, you realize that that's what you are, and you're a number. Like, if you just write down your, like, if you're filling out a form up there, and you just write down your name, that's not your name. Your name is your number. Like, you know, like, at the end of my name, I'd have to put HC8520. Like, that was my number. And without that number, nothing. If you sent me a letter, it didn't have that my number on it, I never got it. If you sent me money, I'd never get it. You had to put that number on there. And that just, it's like you're a piece of meat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're a label. You're a number. Like, you're not a person. And that's what it is. And really, you're a worker. You're, you know, I hate to use the term slave because I know, you know, actual slavery is way worse, you know. But...
The industrial prison complex is a slave system. I mean, you got to remember, you're making, what, 21 cents an hour to make different things.
Yeah, that was in a federal joint. Upstate, you start out at 19 cents an hour, and where I was at, they didn't have no CI jobs. Those are called correctional industry jobs where, like, you can actually make more.
But, like, we didn't make license plates at the time that I was there, but they started doing that after I left. But the best-paying job up there was only 44 cents an hour. So, you know, that's state prison. But 19 cents an hour was what majority of the jail made, and once you, like, had the same job for a year, they would give you a raise to, like, 23 cents an hour or something.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Yeah.
Did you see guys going out working like in different places, like on the street or out in the communities, or do you know if the government itself was leasing people out and making more money off of the people that was? I guess that's what I want to say. Do you know what extent the government was involved in this?
The jail I was at, they would have a couple of outside clearance jobs. The most common ones were just doing landscaping, because there was a federal prison and a juvenile detention center in the same. It was all within, like, a mile radius. So, like, one of the most common outside clearance jobs were, like, landscaping those three facilities. We had a very small population that would actually go out in the community. But where I live now, I see those guys out a lot, like the county jail workers. I see those guys out a lot doing all kinds of stuff. I know there's even one program in my county that those guys do construction. I've seen them cutting trees down the one time. You see them a lot. I mean, anybody that lives around where I live will be able to tell you that. We see that a lot around here. You see a lot of inmate work being done out here. But, like, mm-hmm. I know they take care of the courthouse. They do all the landscaping there. And,
that they pocket the money that they're supposed to pay landscapers and different things and just make inmates do it. I'm sure people benefit from it. Trips at the end of the year, maybe a brand new car, some addition to your office. We got another caller, area code 204. What's up?
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the show. We got the homie Brandon here telling about doing some hard time. You got a question for him? Or?
Nah, that's some real shit, though, what he's talking about. I have to salute him for that, getting up here and, you know, telling his story.
Yeah, we
definitely appreciate that. Because and that's what this show is about. We want people to come out here and tell their story of what they went through.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very important that we know. You know, saying knock on wood. I've never been to the penitentiary, so it's vital information for people that you know that haven't been to in a situation like that. So
I
just wanted to say something real quick. I do appreciate you putting me on to tell me about, or you know, for me to tell everybody about it. You know, a lot of people pay attention to me on Facebook and shit. I don't talk about it much just because, like, most people, they wear it like it's a badge of honor, like it's cool that they went there or they're tough because they did X amount of time. Or a lot of people that listen, they listen to their favorite rapper or celebrity mm-hmm. talk about prison and they glorify it and stuff. Like, trust me, there's nothing fucking cool about jail. I've never acted... Like, you know, I was never proud of it at all. I mean, that's why I appreciate you having me on to talk about it, because you don't get too many regular people. Like, who am I? You know what I mean? I'm just an everyday guy. Like, there's nothing special about me. I'm not a fucking celebrity or nothing. And I just want to tell anybody listening, like, don't get it twisted. Like, I'm not bragging about it. I don't even, when people ask me about it, usually I don't even answer them just because they're not asking for the right reason. I'm talking about it.
So I would imagine it's a horrible experience.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, traumatized by it or anything like that. It's just a lot of people that ask me about it, they're asking for the wrong reasons. It's like they're asking, you know, like, they're just asking stupid shit. But, I just want to talk about it because there's nothing cool about it. And people think that,
right.
Oh, he did a lot of time, he's cool or he's tough or something. No, man, it ain't nothing like that at all. There's nothing cool about that shit at all.
Yeah. This is Jerry from Virginia. I know down here, I've been in Virginia for like 4 years, and I'm originally from New York. I know that down here, they have the inmates be picking up garbage, cutting down trees. So it's big business in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and
big
we had
business.
We had some shit that was tied into it. Like, I never learned about it too much because it was when I was on my way out. But right before I left, man, they were doing some shit where they were taking people from Pennsylvania. There was people from my jail. And they moved them to Alexandria, Virginia, and they were taking them to Michigan. You know, like they were taking them to Michigan and Virginia, and it was some kind of political fucking swap off.
They was bringing like to Hampton, Newport News. Really, they bring some to Norfolk, Portsmouth, and stuff like that if they know. But they really was bringing them to Hampton and Virginia because when I used to be a security guard at one of the bus stations. Our company have. One time I talked to one of them, and they said, "Yeah, they got us to Pennsylvania." I'm like, I said,
our jail got like $1 million or something from Michigan for us to fill up their jail, and that's what they did. They took motherfuckers in the middle of the night, never told them they were leaving or anything.
That's when you come into. By the way, I forgot to mention that I am going to be working this month with Homeland Security and the part of Homeland that work with NASA, and we're going to be working with. I'm going to be helping them to write an article on human trafficking. We already know that our government believes in human trafficking. They pick up men just to do these sort of jobs. The government is the biggest traffickers, and they sell these men to private industries like private prisons.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a long time, too.
And instead of them building schools, they're building more prisons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, Elaine. This is no lie. This is just in my community. When I was growing up, there was like when you were going to kindergarten and first grade, there was like 7 elementary schools. You would go there for 2 or 3 years or whatever, then you would go to the school that was 2nd through 5th grade or whatever. Just in the past like 10 years or something. All of them are gone. Every single one of them are gone. This is just I'm talking in a 5 to 10 mile radius. All of them are gone, but we have I think 9 new prisons that were built in the past 10 years. And
You
look at our governor, they asked him about that. They like you know what I mean like that's a well known thing about our governor, and I'm sure Pennsylvania isn't alone on that. But he got criticized heavily because there's a lot of schools. It disappeared, and I mean, just look at the numbers. We have more prisons than schools.
So you want to ask yourself, what in the world are they doing to our kids, and what are they planning? Because, like I said, this is big money business. The prison system is a business, and like when the governor, the president, whoever have a party or whatever. Who do you think working and who do you think's doing the cooking and who do you think's doing the parking and, you know, this is what they do. It's a scam.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like I mentioned this on the show last week. If you look at your T-shirts and your shoes and everything, they say made in China or somewhere else. But, I mean, it would look pretty dumb if our military wore clothes that said made in China. That would look stupid. They say made in the USA. They're made
That's
in San
right.
Quentin penitentiaries. You know
I
what I mean?
That.
And I mean look
I saw
how,
that.
Look how many prisons there are. And this is just common sense. There's how many prisons there are. If you open up an ice cream store, what do you need? You need ice cream. You need people to buy ice cream. If they have 50 prisons,
They need inmates.
They have to have, that's,
you know,
right. And the biggest target is young boys, young men from the age of 14, I believe, to 24. Because these guys are strong guys, and they can go out there and they can do the heavy lifting and all this crazy stuff. I was amazed just to read that.
Yeah, because I know, I mean, when I used to go to school, it used to be always, I never high school college in New York. It all used to be this dark van be circling around. And then when I start reading up a really mass construction and mass incarceration, and I used to be like, oh, yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I'm fine. I know what you're doing, too. Yeah, what you get in the van? You know, what you go in the corner? Oh, no, I told him, don't go in that corner. Why? They're trying to get you locked up so you can work for them. And then sometimes what they doing, they snatch these boys up too. And some, I mean, to get off the subject, and sometimes they get, sometimes they find a way to kill them through drugs and take their organs out too.
And that's,
well, yeah, that's, no, that's, you're going in the right direction, because that's real stuff right there. They take them organs, because we had we're gonna revisit this episode. We did a show called Deep Webs, where you can get into this certain portal in the internet, and you could straight buy livers and kidneys, and you can get a heart if you need it, whatever blood type you have. It's just fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying? The shit that they hide from us on CNN and MSNBC and Fox. They put that dumb brainwashing bullshit, but they're not telling the real. But, yeah, you're right, man. They're selling organs.
And that
crazy.
Is so true. In prison, they have inmates donating their organs, kidneys and whatever it is. And people in the public really don't know what's going on in prison life.
No, they don't.
You know, and I would advise people to stay, don't do nothing. I don't care what you do, just don't go to prison, because the way you went in, you are definitely not coming out. And not only that, they're giving them this these drugs, to alter their personalities. No, thank you.
And look, I just want to say something. I like to think that I'm clear thinking, and I'm still normal and shit, but my family will tell you I'm not the same. I'm not the same dude I was, prior to going there. I'm not. I mean,
because you don't know what they put in your food.
You don't know what they put in your food. They restrict what you can learn. I mean, I went to the hole for having a Tupac book. Because it had the code of thug life written in it, and they told me, Kelly, and two other people to the hole for months over that, because it says it has a political and revolutionary motive.
Sounds like China to me.
They didn't want to learn nothing. They just want to use as child of slavery. It's a modern child of slavery in this country. And we better understand that.
And where I'm at, in Pennsylvania, this is mind-boggling to me. Like, my best friend up there, he's doing life for something he did when he was 12 years old. He grew up in a rough section of Pittsburgh in the Homewood area. Shout out to Homewood, though. I love that place. But he was 11 years old, man. He didn't know any better. Like, he did something horrible, and he knows he did, and, he wishes he didn't do it. Like, he thought it was something cool at that age, But, now that he's older, he's 29 years old now. But he's doing life in prison for that shit. And they lock you up when you're a child. You can be locked up and charged as an adult for a murder in Pennsylvania when you're 10.
Look. This guy here the other day just shot 5 people. The little boy, 6-year-old kid, just died the other day. And you know what? I mean, this is crazy. They only slapped this boy. He killed his dad. He killed 2 people. He killed his dad. The 6-year-old kid died. And 3 other, the teacher and 2 other kids, were shot. You know what they gave this little guy? They gave him, well, they treated him as a child. Normally, little black children, when they do something, they treat them as adults.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that is so crazy. Yeah, yeah, and the same thing, you know, the same thing with the kid molesting these, got the girl behind the dumpster while she was drunk. They gave him a slap on the wrist. What is going on here?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like I said, the guy I was talking about, yeah, he did something awful. And yeah, he should have paid the price for it. But, I mean, I don't think whenever he's 65 years old, he should still be in prison for something he did when he was fucking 11. You know what I'm saying? But you see people that, I mean, I've seen people, the guy that delivered our mail in the prison, he was, and how I found out this is I was watching the show, How to Catch a Predator. And this dude, he delivered my mail in the jail on that show. And he was like a computer dude, like, you know, like a computer nerd. And he was from, like, Kentucky or Kansas or something. And he met up with what he thought was going to be a 13-year-old little girl.
Mm.
But the night before he was supposed to meet her, he raped a 5-year-old little boy in the bathroom at the mall. And then whenever he went to meet the girl that he was talking to online, like, they arrested him. And then once he was in custody, they realized he was the guy that did that the night before. He got 3 to 6 years.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
crazy.
60 years.
But let me tell you about this lady in Virginia, right? She's a teacher. She's been teaching for like almost like 14, 15 years, and all she was doing, she was raping little boys, and this they called her like that. This is the third or fourth offense, something like that. You know how much they gave her? Y'all gotta guess this.
3 years.
No, lower.
Probably 5 months. 2 months, maybe.
Lower.
Nothing. Probably time served, probation.
A month. She did only 2 weeks.
A month. That's just, yeah, that's horrible. Like I said earlier, a guy here molested a kid, and they just gave him probation. That's it. But you get caught, you know, I get caught with 5 grams of meth or 5 grams of crack or something. That's 5 years automatically. In some cases, it's 20 to life. Automatically, first offense.
Yeah, it depends it depends how much ounce you got.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
They're categorizing us, too. You know,
the guy in, was it Pennsylvania or Philadelphia the other day? Where he had a freaking joint, and the cop kills him dead.
Yeah,
I saw that. I think that was in Philadelphia.
That is freaking crazy for a joint, but yet and still the government all over is making this stuff legal, and people are becoming, I mean, regular people like you and I can grow this stuff and sell it, and we're becoming rich. But the cop caught the man with a joint and killed him dead.
Yeah.
We just have to understand this federal government legalized dumb stuff. They know what they're doing, and they legislate it. And they've been doing it for a long time. They did it for alcohol back in the 20s and the 30s.
Yeah.
They did it for the heroin back. A lot of people don't understand. Heroin was back in the 30s and the 40s, going like 40, 50 years. You know, that's all they've been doing. And then the one who paid for it is the poor communities. No matter if you're white, no matter if you're black, it doesn't make a difference. But sometimes we get caught up with this race thing. We have to realize the federal government always making money on anybody who comes in this country.
Well, they make money off of anybody that's trying to take over their turf. Like you said, like in the roaring 20s, they were bootlegging alcohol. The government took over, started taxing it. And then the same thing with the marijuana. You know, you are knocking him out of his part of the money. So, of course, you're going to go to jail. You know, if you're caught with one joint on you, you're going to jail or you're going to die because you're taking money from the government.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Government
yeah.
is a gang.
They're gangsters.
They're yeah, gangsters. They're the original gangsters.
They make Al Capone look like Mickey Mouse.
Right.
These guys are, they are the Scarfaces and the Pablo Escobars of the world.
A lot of people don't understand, like, the mobs and all that. They the only the mobs. Oh, we understand what the mob did. I'm not taking nothing away from them because they did. But they were pimping them. The government was pimping them all the time.
Listen, so here's a perfect example of it all is if say Prez lives by me and he's like, I'm like, yo, man, you can't park your fucking car on my side of the road unless you pay me. And if he don't, I do something to him. Look, you get a parking ticket, they charge you all this money, you don't pay it, what happens? You go to jail.
You go to jail.
I mean, for parking your car in the wrong place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People, that happens. I mean, like, the shit is so... I mean, I've had dumb little citations and shit that I never even went to court for. Like, they just send you the shit in the mail. You plead guilty or not guilty, you send it in, and they send you your fine.
No,
I had a $40 fine. That when they sent me my total, it was over $300 for a court cost that... I never even went to court, and some of it, they show you what all they're taking money out for, and some of it was like DUI safety, domestic violence thing, victim awareness. And it had nothing to do with any of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they charge you all this crazy shit, and it's like,
right.
What the fuck?
Here's a better one. If you're driving in, what kind of lane is it? It's a special lane that you have to buy, a toll lane. You're driving. I didn't even know I was driving in this lane. And I didn't even know about nothing about the ticket. It didn't say anything. So they send you a ticket. If you don't pay for the ticket, every month is added up. One lady got a bill for like $3,000 or $4,000 for a $10 ticket. For a $10 ticket.
Crazy.
One way or another, they're going to make money from you. One way or the other.
That's all it's about, man. Like, and that's what it is. You get in trouble. If you don't got money, you're hit, man. I mean, I know a dude, his dad's a doctor, his mom's a teacher. He's been in all kinds of trouble. He never went to jail. He has money, you know. But, I don't got money. I've only had a paid attorney one time my whole life. You know, and I think I still owe them. But they give you some, you know, public defender that you have no connection to. You're just another number to her. She don't, you know, they don't fight for you, and just you go to jail. That's the system, and there's no steps being made to change it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
like the cancer industry.
Because
the money is made by these crooks, you know, and if it keeps bringing them money, they're going to keep it the same. And, you know, people like yourself get a decade of their life taken away because you passed out in the car. I mean, it's just horrible.
That's what I'm saying. How do you, I tell people all the time, I know y'all already know, how do you think they be paying these kids, they kids to school?
Yeah.
And they end up being just like them.
Yeah.
So the cycle continues. But the sad thing about the system was never really made for the following citizen. That's a lie. You look at I tell people all the time, listen, what do you think about the national flag? National flag don't mean shit to me. You cannot.
Yeah.
What's the system saying? One third of the song, and the other half, you know, is much more racial or whatever it is. You know, come on. You know, a lot of us don't even know the law. A lot of us don't even want to pay attention to the law. A lot of us don't even want to discuss about it. This system was never really made for common brother or sister. They just made for rich people, corrupt people, period.
Yeah. Like I was saying, my grandfather told me the biggest war that's ever going to be fought is going to be between the haves and the have-nots. And, you know, the sooner we realize that,
as a human species as a whole, the better we're going to be. But the more we're divided by the fucking media, the mainstream media, and the tactics of the government, it's just going to be harder and harder for us to fight what's coming in the future. Not to sound like some cheesy science fiction movie, but it's real. It's the Matrix.
Anytime you criticize our system or anything like that, they just go to their cop-out. Well, we have the best country in the world, the best system in the world, which is fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
But they have... They program you to think that we're the best. You know, they try to program everybody by saying we're the best, and everything that we do is the best.
Yeah,
so that's their
we're
top
the best.
Out.
And people
you know,
cancer.
They always
we're
said
the best
that we the
high prison populations.
Yeah.
I feel you,
man. We're the land of the free, but we have more people in prison than any other country. Like you know, those days, like it's just the marketing thing. They have people thinking that
opposite
oh, well, this has
to be real, the best place. Realization is.
Here is what's going on. For almost a decade, the police department of Dothan, Alabama, has been planting drugs and weapons on black suspects.
Well, I heard about that story, yes.
In order to secure convictions of these individuals. We were talking about that. Not only has this knowledge come to light, but we also now being told that these officers belong to a neo-Confederate hate group. Hashtag APDTA.
Yeah.
And this is what we were talking
infiltrated.
About.
Yeah, and more on Elaine's point though too, that you all know Elaine, sad thing about it, these persons have moved up to higher positions in Homeland Security, not just in Alabama, but for the federal government.
Well, here it is that the whole system, the whole police department, first of all, why would our police go to Israel for training?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
That's
and secondly, when you have people, poor people, I'm not putting race in it, when you have poor people, black or white, because more white people are shot down every day by the police than black people, but the mainstream media does not talk about it.
Yeah.
Why?
Capita.
Because they want people to think that black people are crazy and bad. Okay, guess what? Who have filled up the police department other than these neo-Nazi people who is the same thing as Confederate hate group people? Is the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to make sure I get this in here. I know we're running out of time, but this is a common thing. It's kind of going off subject of what you're talking about, but in a way it's not. This is a common thing. Like, I ran into an old friend the other day, and he just came from a state prison. And I said, yo, what's it like up there, man? And he's like, oh, it was all right for me. I'm white. You know what I mean? Like, the guards treated him better. He was white. You know? And I've seen that with my own eyes. And I'm white. You know what I mean? But I've seen that. I've seen, you know, the white people get treated better. Like when a white kid gets in trouble when he's in prison, they're like, oh, he was just with the wrong people. He just made a mistake. But a black kid, nah, he's fucked up. He deserved to be there. If he's not there for this, he should be here for that. And that's how they treat it. And that's not just the guards in jail. That's the court system. You know, that's exactly what they do. It is.
I read an article in the Washington Times. I want to elaborate real quick on what you were saying, Elaine, too, about the shootings. Per capita, there is more black shootings. The only reason there's more white shootings is because there's, I think it was, what, five or six more times whites in America than blacks.
Right.
But per capita, there's more blacks, so it's definitely a systematic. You know, I mean, these racist assholes are thinking, you know, shoot to kill. But, yeah, they are killing white people, too, but the media is not
they don't want to say it. They don't want to say it. It's deliberately. They don't want to say it.
I
have commented on one of the Elaine posts with this. Like, a lot of times people will post shit like this white guy was shot and nobody's talking about it and all that. Well, all you're doing is proving our point. We're not saying it's always a race thing. We're saying these cops are fucked up. So when you post, I mean, they're killing everybody. Like, it's not just that they're killing black people, but they're killing everybody. So, like, you're proving my point. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the dirty-ass cops. We're talking about
that. Right.
So when you say, like, a white guy was shot, like, you're trying, they post it like they're combating what I'm saying. Like, you're just proving my point. Like, that's all you're doing. You know what I mean?
And you know what? And I'm going to tell people that, do you think any good cops, Jerry? I say, ain't no such thing, no good cops, because a good cop's not turning into the bad cop. When you let things go, you are adversary to that.
But you have to remember, Jerry, you have to remember.
The blue is real.
You have to remember the reason why the good cops don't talk about the bad cops is that they're afraid for their life, too. Are you kidding me?
They're going to get murdered.
They're going to get killed.
It's just like that guy from the Freemasons. I forget his name, but he was in England, and he spilled a lot of beans about what the Freemasons do, certain rituals and different things, and they found him hanging from a bridge a few days later. So, I mean, it's the same thing with the cops. What people don't understand, the police, they're a fraternal order. They're not just cops. They're a secret society as well. They have rituals and different things, just like Freemasons, just like Skull and Bones. And who do they protect? You know what I'm saying? Remember in St. Louis when the shit went down, everybody was going crazy? Where were they at? They weren't in Ferguson. They were protecting the huge financial institutions downtown St. Louis. That's where they were guarding. They didn't give a fuck about Ferguson. So, these guys are in with the Masons. They're in with the, and you conspiracy theorists that are jumping on the Illuminati dick. We've been talking about that for years now. You know what I'm saying? Anthony J. Hilder talked about it first in the 1960s. We had him on the show. So it's real. It's not a fad or a trend. There is bloodlines. There is different secret societies. Look this shit up. And it all ties into what we're talking about, because at the end of the day, these guys control the prison systems too. And with that being said, I want to thank everybody for calling the lines. I really appreciate you. Brandon, thank you so much for sharing your story. And
it was an honor, man.
It was real, real good to have you on. And anybody else, if you got a story, you've been through anything, I mean, police brutality, injustices, fucked up shit with the medical industry, you know, say, please email me, Prez, P-R-E-Z, at UGSForLife.com. Also visit UGSForLife.com. Click the donation page. Drop us a $5 bill or even a dollar. Anything helps. You know what I'm saying? We're doing this out of pocket. You know what I'm saying? We want to continue to bring you this programming. And Wednesday, I just want to say this. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, which is the 5th, we're going to have the filmmakers of NWA and Eazy-E, the Kings of Compton. We have 10 DVDs to give away. So if you want a DVD, hit the lines. You know what I'm saying? And, we'll send you out a brand new DVD of this documentary, a real good documentary film. So other than that, we'll see you guys real soon right here next Sunday, 9 p.m. Central, Church of Reality. Peace.
Good night.
Peace.